I'm Emma Goldswell, and welcome to a very special episode of Coming Out Stories from What Goes On Media. We thought we'd celebrate National Coming Out Day, which happens every year on October the 11th. Instead of just me chatting to one individual, I thought I'd get three of my faves back from previous seasons to talk about coming out. I tell you what, why don't you all introduce yourselves individually? Let's go alphabetical order, if you can work that out. Oh gosh, that's complicated, isn't it?
Does that mean me?
Yes, if you start then, Claire. First of all, let's just do names and pronouns and how you identify.
My name's Claire. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm a trans woman.
I'm Davina De Campo. I am a drag queen and I go by they, she or he. I'm non-binary and also I am a clown.
You are a clown. I thought you were going to say unicorn. That's also a bit beautiful. And last but not least.
Hi, I'm Richie. He, him, sissy gender.
Now, of course, if you go back through the back catalogue of coming out stories, you will hear all of these splendid people explaining their coming out story in great detail. But for the benefit of this exercise, should we just go around and share our coming out story in a brief sort of 1 or 2 minutes, really? If you want, I can go first. I came out in 1989 and it was kind of prompted by my father. Basically forced me out of the closet, and I'd been a very grumpy, moody teenager. I was very upset because my first girlfriend had dumped me, and he literally sat me down and went, Emma, what the hell is wrong with you? Are you on drugs? Are you pregnant? Or are you a lesbian? And I was so repressed I couldn't even say, yes, I'm a lesbian. I just went, yes. But I think he got the idea pretty quickly that I was in fact a lesbian, and it was quite traumatic at the time. But you know, as we know as LGBT people, it got easier and easier and easier to cope with my parents, who totally accept me now, and it just gets easier and easier the amount of times you do it, really. So that's a brief introduction to my little coming out story from 1989. Claire, you didn't really come out to parents, did you? I think your significant other was coming out to your partner, wasn't it?
Yeah, I sort of like come out in stages over the years, in different aspects, after years of denial, I suppose, and self-loathing. I eventually came to a point in my mid-40s where I was at Sparkle and having a conversation on the phone to my ex-partner and explaining that I was at a transgender festival, and I was exploring myself, and it went from there, really. I tried to come out in my 20s and my 30s, but I just wasn't brave enough or didn't have the information to make a good assessment of myself, and eventually learned to love myself after a breakdown in my 40s. And, it came out, and then I had to tell my daughter and have counselling, and then we marched together, and then she came out as bi, and then... it's been a long time coming out.
it's a long journey, isn't it? And I think you're one of many people that have come out in their 40s and just waited till the time is right in their life, really. Davina, you were a bit earlier, weren't you?
Yeah, I was much earlier than that. It wasn't easy. It was 97, 98, that kind of period. I was sort of 14 and rang all of my kind of little clique of school friends. And the basic response from everybody was like, yeah, and
kill surprise, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so shocked that you running around in a crop top are gay. Oh, who'd have thought it?
No clues whatsoever.
But then, of course, like a lot of people on the podcast, you've had two coming outs because you did that, and then it was actually years later that you came out as non-binary as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking about being non-binary since kind of university, but it's not something you talk about every day, you know? Like, I'm just a person existing in the world and doing my thing. And unless it's kind of part of a wider conversation, it's not really something that I need to talk about in a, you know, this is how I experience the world. However you experience me in that world, well, that's down to you. That's not that's not my experience. So I've been talking about it for kind of 20 years, but I've written it online much more recently.
And I think having a public persona meant that people were talking about it and asking about it probably more than you know, if I was to come out, or, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe if I'd, you know, played the non-binary card a bit harder on Drag Race, I'd have done better.
You came second, Davina, don't bitch. You did very well, darling. And last but not least, Richie, yours was quite difficult, wasn't it? Particularly coming out to your parents.
Yeah, I mean, like, I came out when I was 16, and both my parents are Muslim. And so they kind of got me in a corner sort of thing and said, you've been spending lots of time with your friend, and she's a female, and have you got a pregnancy? And I was like, well, no. So
that's the good news. Yeah.
And at the age of 16, I was like, you know, this was the summer holidays, you know. Of course I was going to spend lots of time with my mate who was accepting of who I am. So eventually I just blurted it out and told them that I was gay, and there was stunned silence. And I got two different responses from my parents. So my mum kind of ran upstairs and she was really tearful and didn't quite know how to deal with it. And my dad had the most bizarre conversation with me. He said, okay, yeah, fine. Yeah, okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take you to the doctor, and he's going to give you tablets, which are going to really help you with this problem. And it was so weird. It was like, I was 16. I was kind of like hormones raging. I didn't know right from left, but there were certain things I did know. I knew that I was gay, and I also felt a bit older than my dad in that moment. I said to my dad, I said, Dad, there are no tablets that can make you straight. They just don't exist. And he kind of looked at me in stunned silence and then kind of slowly nodded his head and then went upstairs to join my mum. And that was it, really. And then it took a while because I didn't know what was going to happen next. I didn't know if I was going to be given the inevitable sort of push out the door, or if I was going to... I mean, I had no idea. I was just panicky. And so what I did is I kind of sort of ran out and went back to my mate's place. And, you know, my mate was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. It's all on my parents. I don't know what decision they're going to make. I went back around there again to get some more clothes. And they were like, look, let's just try and work this out and kind of figure this whole thing out. And they were trying to contextualize it, like in a religious context. And I was desperately trying to get them to look at it in a much more of a social context. And that wasn't easy. But as the months went by, they didn't kick me out. As the years went by, it was like they started to have that acceptance, really. And they even invited a boyfriend of mine over for tea, which I thought was progress. But for myself, it was so difficult to reconcile my faith with my sexuality. It was so hard to do because the two things just didn't go hand in hand. But since then, kind of helped set up a project for LGBT plus children and young people in Manchester back in the sort of late 90s. We've had lots of speakers in from the Muslim community who've talked about how it is possible to reconcile your faith with your sexuality.
Which is such an important message to give, isn't it? Especially to young people. Thank you, Richard. Yeah. Right, I want to ask you all something now, which is something that I've been asked several times, I think mainly by straight broadcasters. And the question is this. Why do you need to come out, though? I don't need to come out. I don't feel like the need to announce that I'm heterosexual, who I want to sleep with. Why do you need to come out? Surely it's a redundant thing to be doing. Davina looks absolutely livid just at the question. Go on.
It's just that thing, like, still, I mean, not so much with me, because people, one, most people know who I am. You know, if they're talking to me, that sounds so presumptuous, doesn't it? Lots of people know who I am already, so they kind of have an understanding of my story already. But it's that thing of society is so geared up towards straight couples as being the norm that still there will be questions asked, you know, whether you're at work or, you know, sometimes you're just at the checkout and you're just going, oh, like you're asking about my girlfriend. Look at my face. Look at my face. Why are you asking me if I have a girlfriend? Do I look like somebody who's going to football? No, I don't. Why are you asking me about this in the taxi when I have my headphones in and I don't want to speak to you anyway?
So it's the presumption, isn't it? People are always assuming that we're straight.
Yeah. And because of that, it's a constant thing. It happens all the way through your life. It doesn't just stop when, you know, if like me at 14 or like Claire at 40 or Richie, whenever you come out, Like, it doesn't stop then. You haven't done it once. It's every time you meet a new set of people, you have to go through the same thing of being like, oh, yeah, well, my husband, well, my partner, well, my this, well. Then you're kind of always feeling for their reaction. Who is the person who's going to be a problem or an issue in that little group of people? Because there's usually one.
Yeah. Go on, Richie, you had something to say.
I think what's really interesting is, like, we come out all the time to, like, you know, as you say, people on the checkout, to doctors, to, you know, lots and lots of people who make kind of heterosexist assumptions, like these sort of heteronormative assumptions. And it's gotten to the point where we do have to lay the groundwork. We do have to prep people for who we are so that they have time to digest that. And to process that. And you know what? You get these looks, don't you? You get these looks when you mention your husband or your, you know, whatever. And you can see that they're desperately trying to look cool.
Like, oh, I'm not fazed by this information at all.
Yeah. Their eyes are giving so much away. And they're trying to maintain a neutral expression on their face. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got other people when you come out to them and they're a little bit too overjoyed for you. They're kind of like, that's just great. That's amazing. That's fantastic. And I'm thinking, it ain't that big a deal. Chill out. Come on. Come on, baby.
Claire, why do you think we need to come out then? Why do you think, you know, it's 2022, but we still need to come out?
I mean, your podcasts are, I think, a testament to how deeply personal and individual coming out stories and circumstances are. You know, our community is such a varied group. Each individual has that story within them that I wish that we didn't have to, you know. Things have improved, but, you know, we're talking about years of ingrained negativity towards our community. And for me, it's like I can go into a room and people may see me as openly trans, but then the conversation is, oh, you know, there's an assumption that I'm dressing as a woman to attract a man, so they will automatically presume that I'm into men, and the conversations can be just so far off. It's unreal.
So yeah, you're constantly having to come out, aren't you? Did you think there's ever an argument for not coming out? I guess for some people there isn't a choice, is there really?
Again, it's the circumstances. It's like Richie was saying, with family, you know, we don't know what's going on behind everyone's background. If they don't feel safe and comfortable to, if it's not a good environment for them to come out, if it's going to impact on them negatively, you know, with the homeless outreach I do, the amount of LGBT on the streets, it does have that impact. So the people don't do it lightly. I think that, you know, for a lot of people, it is still a big thing to say because of the knock-on effect.
I think it's about being your authentic self. I think after a while you get sick to death of having to hide from the people you love, and you just reach that point where you think, do you know what, I don't have to hide other parts of myself from the people I love, so why should I have to hide this? And as Claire was saying, sometimes there's a risk because, you know, you could end up homeless, you could end up in a terrible situation, you know, and I understand what that felt like back then when it came out. But yeah, there's something about wanting to maintain that authenticity and to have the kind of genuine relationships with the people around you. And also, being your authentic self also means not being exhausted all the time trying to hide that part of your identity, because it is exhausting. It's really tiring to kind of keep all of that locked inside and to watch the things that you say and the way that you behave and stuff. And after a while you think, you know what, sod it, I'm just not bothered with this anymore. But also, because I also work with children and young people, the stories I hear nowadays in 2022, I'm hearing kids in school, like, I'll sometimes ask them, I'll say, well, what was your coming out like? And they'll say, what do you mean? I don't understand what you mean, coming out. It's like, oh, really? Okay. So I explain to some of the kids and they're like, no. I mean, this lad said to me, said he turned around to his parents one day and said, it's okay if your boyfriend comes over later. And his parents were like, oh, yeah. And then that was that.
Wow. This is the world progress. That we want to live in, isn't it? This yeah. is how we want it to be
yeah.
for all of us. But, you know, for none of us in this conversation had easy experiences like that, did we really? Gosh, that's just brilliant. That's a great technique, though. I like that. Don't build up to doing a big dramatic, "Mum, Dad, I'm gay." Just, "Oh, can my boyfriend come round?" I like it. So towards the end of the podcast, I always ask the people the same question. It's a question that I get asked a lot myself now. How should we come out? Is there any techniques? Is there a right time? What advice would you give to someone listening that hadn't yet come out that was wanting to do it at some point in the future? Davina, have you got anything that springs to mind?
I mean, for me, there is no right or wrong way. Obviously, there are better ways. Maybe having sex on the sofa in front of your parents with your boyfriend isn't quite the right technique. But if that works for you, you go for it.
I have spoken to people that have been caught in bed. That has happened. Not on the sofa, but in bed, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, but what I would say is that you don't owe that information to anybody. Mm. Nobody is owed that information. Only you have the right to give anybody that information or to pass it around. And unless you feel safe giving it to them, then actually they haven't done the work to deserve that knowledge. And that's what I would say, is that if it doesn't feel right, it's not right. And if it does feel right, it probably is. So trust your gut.
Good advice. Claire, what would you say to someone still thinking about coming out?
It's got to be right for you. Don't feel pressured into coming out. You have to be sure. It's not something that's done lightly. So, you know, we've all had those anxieties where there were days and nights where we've just gone through everything and we've just got our head in a muddle, and things will get clearer. You know, when I transitioned, I was so up and down, living a dual life, lying to people. And then I just knew once I transitioned, things would get better, but I didn't know what to expect as well. So you need to make that step sometimes for your own well-being, I think. It's about self-love again. It's about doing what's right for you.
And doing it at the right time, that's always my advice. Just yes. Don't rush it. If you're not ready, you know, it's not a race. You know, life, if you're very lucky, is quite long. So don't do it before you're ready. Richie, what would be your most important bit of advice?
I think you've got to come out to yourself first and foremost, you know, and that takes time for some people. And, you know, it's about being comfortable with yourself. It's about sort of knowing where you're at that stage in your life. There's very much that thing about self-acceptance. And then if you are ready to come out to other people, you know, it's kind of sort of laying the groundwork, really, isn't it? Like testing the waters. You know, I've had all sorts of stories where, like, people have told me that they've thrown in the kind of G-bomb every now and then in conversations to see how people react. And if they get this really good vibe from people who are okay talking about LGBT plus lives, then they're more likely going to get more acceptance from those people. Not really going into battle, but kind of like seeing how the land lies, sort of throwing a scrap over the fence and seeing, like, you know, how people respond to it. And if they like it, then you can give them more. You can kind of like open up more and talk about your own experiences and stuff. But it is very much personal, like what Davina was saying. It's important not to throw yourself at people. It's important to go at your pace with what feels right, with what feels safe. And it's easy for me to say that now. I did kind of throw things out at my parents way back when.
But you probably had an idea of how they were going to respond. I mean, most people do by just watching TV with their parents or with their relatives, don't they? You know, maybe sit down and watch a few episodes of Coronation Street. There's full of gays, isn't it? There'll be bound to be somebody having a gay kiss at some point. Rather than just saying, "Mum, Dad, should we watch Brokeback Mountain?" You know, maybe just start with Corrie.
I think Hollyoaks is a really good yardstick.
Yeah,
I think Hollyoaks is a great yardstick because everyone at Hollyoaks is gay. Literally,
oh,
everybody
are they?
Is.
Oh, right, okay.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
I'm
like,
not as down with the kids as you are, Richie. Let's turn this on its head then slightly, because I know a lot of people listening to this actually are straight or cisgendered, and they listen because they've got kids or they've got people in their family who are part of the LGBTQ plus family. And they want a bit of advice on how they should respond to the conversation, or maybe should they bring things up themselves? You know, people you know, it's not easy to be on the other side of a coming out, is it? I don't think always. So has anyone got any thoughts on advice for family members?
Could I just, is it okay if I jump in here real quick?
Go ahead.
I also work with parents as well. And what I've discovered is that they will sometimes have a life map for their child, you know, and they don't want the child to deviate too much from that life map. And what I've discovered with like some parents is that they have this real idea that the child is going to do this, is going to do that, is going to have this kind of partner, is going to have this sort of life, and mm-hmm. is also going to give them grandkids. And, mm-hmm. you know, when I have spoken with those parents and I've said, look, you know, your LGBT plus child, when they're old enough, may still give you grandkids. That option's not off the table. But the biggest piece of advice that I give to those parents is, look, your children are going to be who they're going to be, okay? The only thing you can do is love them and accept them and care for them and create the right conditions for them to be their true selves. But just remember, your kids are going to be who they're going to be, not who you decide you want them to be.
And do they listen to you, Richie? I mean, it sounds good advice, but parents can be very stuck in their ways, can't they?
Yes, some of them take it on board. And one parent told me to go fuck myself. So that was interesting. I know that was somebody's dad. He just was not happy to hear anything I had to say. He just thought this was some big mad collusion and whatever. That was a tough meeting.
I hope he's come round, because you do find that people do come round eventually, don't you, usually?
Yeah, I think it was like 8 or 9 months later that young person said to me that his dad did eventually come round, because I think his dad was hoping that he would change. His dad was hoping that he would, you know, kind of snap out of this sort of phase that he was going through. But clearly, once his dad realised it wasn't a phase, then he thought, you know what, my kid is LGBT
my kid.
Plus.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to change them. Yeah, mm-hmm. Claire, have you got any advice for parents? Well, you actually been in the you've had the experience. You had a child come out to you.
Yeah, well, it all happened so nonchalantly. So it was sort of like, all right, I've got to be the cool parent here and just sort of, yeah, oh, brilliant. You know, it's sort of, well, it's about creating that environment that she felt comfortable to be able to tell me, you know, about being bisexual. And I think that probably would have happened whether I'd been trans or not. A lot of it is when the kids do come out and be honest, it's about listening intently. And if you're not sure, ask questions, educate yourself. There's no excuse now for lack of information. Sometimes it takes longer for it all to sink in, because it can feel as though, you know, some parents maybe feel that they've failed, or this is a slight on them because of society's perception of how we become who we are. Like Richie say, your first port of call is to love your child and work together.
Yeah. It's funny, I speak to a lot of people who go that their mum always knows, you know, particularly gay men, their mum always knows. And some gay men have said to me, oh, I just wish that she'd said something. And other people go, I wish she hadn't brought it up, or I wish she'd just given me a bit more time. So I think it's difficult for parents to know whether to intervene and go, oh, is there anything you want to tell me? Or would you like to come to this gay pride march at the weekend? So I think it is difficult for parents. What would you say, Davina?
I think probably what you've just said actually is the best thing that parents can do, is take your kids to as many different festivals with as many different groups of people as you possibly can.
Yes.
So that you create an environment where all of that is just normal. Mm. And then you can talk about all of that stuff as if it's normal, because it is normal, you know? Mm. So I think that's a big part of it, actually, is you as a parent being open to showing your kids that other people live their lives in different ways as well, and that's okay.
Yeah, and there's so many different ways you can do that. I mean, I went to Queer Lit in Manchester. There's big LGBT book section there for children of all ages. We took our baby to Drag Queen Story Time at Didsbury Pride. I'd recommend that. I don't know if you do it yourself, Davina, but I highly recommend, if you've got children, to take them to Drag Queen Story Time. But yeah, like you say, just introducing them to different types of people and different types of event, really. Shall we move on now just to talk about allies? Because you know, I think they do get forgotten sometimes, but we've all got straight friends, I presume, at least a couple. How important do you think, Davina's going on, don't know, how important do you think allies are? Yeah, so how important are allies to our community and to supporting us through coming out?
I think, to me, allies have been the most important part of the push forwards for our rights. But that's been won through us showing solidarity with them in the first place. You know, I'm looking at what's happening right now, the media landscape, the political landscape, and it looks very much like now is time for us to mobilise again as a community and start showing solidarity with those who are also being attacked by the powers that be in order that we don't allow them to roll back our rights. That was my soapbox moment right
Good.
There, girl.
Thank you, Davina. Yeah.
Guys, non-binary pals.
But I like it. But I tend to think of allies as being other people, and I've just realised I'm an ally, I think, to the trans community. You know, I'm a cisgendered lesbian, and unfortunately a lot of lesbians are letting the community down by being TERFs and by not supporting our trans brothers and sisters and non-binary people. And, you know, hopefully I can do a little bit to try and educate other people, and hopefully being an ally by being an L is important to the trans community. I don't know. Would you agree, Claire? Do we need
need
everyone to be galvanised? Because your community is having a fucking hard time at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, so I'd definitely class you as a good ally. So, it is relentless. For me, my allies, I really, when I first came out and I went out without my LGBT friends, but went out just with my allies, either on a fitness course or whatever like that, and we went out in the evening, and they saw firsthand the level of abuse or whatever. It was shocking for them, whereas I probably had got used to it for a bit and let it wash off. It was more shocking for them, and that's something I've not forgotten. And what I like from my allies is they speak up for me when I'm not in the room. When I'm not there, they will fight my corner. And that is really reassuring, because, you know, there's lots still to be done. And unfortunately, we need petitions signed. We need protests, you know, even just campaigning for be able to put non-binary on a passport. Just little gains that we need that will help push. We don't want to go back. We want to keep climbing up the ladder, and we need help, and it's much appreciated.
It's a long way to go, isn't there, Claire?
Yeah.
Sadly. Richie, allies, are they important?
Yeah, super important. I think, you know, as a black queer person, you know, I see in terms of that intersectionality, I think that we can align ourselves with other causes, because there's strength in numbers. And I remember back in the day with the women's movement and the race equality movement used to align themselves with what used to be called the Lesbian and Gay Liberation Front back in the day. And those three groups of people, like, you know, those three huge groups of people were much more powerful together. And I think what's happened is on some social media, there's been this real division between those groups of people. And we have to bring that unity back together again. We need those allies. We have to be each other's allies. I know that I have friends who don't just get my back because I'm queer. They get my back because I'm black. And that makes me love them enormously, because they're prepared to put themselves out there and maybe even take a hit for me, as much as I'm prepared to do that for them. And this sounds like I'm drawing up battle lines, but I'm really not. But having allies is super, super important in that respect. The more of us that there are campaigning for equality across the board, the more likely we are to have outcomes from that. There's massive divisions in society, certainly in the UK. You know, if you remember back in the day, you know, with the miners' strike, the way that the LGBT movement allied with the miners and supported the miners and helped the miners, and then the miners never forgot that as well.
No, well, I think we're all of an age where we can remember those things. But I feel like we've all been doing great rallying calls here. This is brilliant.
Yes.
Love it. Yes, fight the fight. And I must just say a very quick thank you and a shout out to one of my favourite allies, and that's Sam Walker, who produces and edits and publishes this podcast, and whose idea it was, and it was me being the idiot that went, oh, I'm not sure if people are interested in hearing other people's coming out stories, are they? So thank you to our favourite LGBT ally, Sam Walker, for making this all possible. And thank you all for being my guests. And long may we continue to talk about coming out and be out and proud LGBT people. If anyone wants to say any parting words, please do so.
Just to say, really loved listening again today, catching up with the new series as well. Obviously, I got my phone call last week from the gender clinic saying I've got my date for my surgery. So 3 weeks' time, I'm going in. So excited, nervous, but it's been 8 years in the coming. So I can't say I haven't had forewarning.
No one can accuse you of rushing it, can they, Ruth?
No. Yeah. Well, that's trans healthcare in this country for you.
Oh, well, congratulations. That is brilliant news, Claire. We are so happy.
Yeah, I'm just all over the place.
Richie, you wanted to say something?
Oh, that's amazing, Claire. That's fantastic. Just wanted to send out lots of love to anyone out there who feels isolated and alone and is struggling. Just to remind you, you're not alone. There's a great big wide world out there that's ready to accept you and embrace you for your true self.
Well said. And lots of websites and lots of organisations wherever you happen to live. Davina, anything from you?
No, thanks for having me back. Tick. No, lovely to have a little chat with all these wonderful people.
And now you need to get off to probably rehearse for your pantomime, don't you? Or is that tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no, you don't. Huge thank you to my guests, Claire, Davina and Richie. Now, I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that you don't need a day like National Coming Out Day to come out. You should come out whenever you're ready, whatever day it is. It's good to have these days, though, isn't it, to help raise awareness about the issues that we in the LGBTQ plus community face when it comes to coming out. And if you are thinking about coming out, well, just take this as an opportunity to take stock and have a good think about what you really want. And feel free to use Coming Out Stories as your guide. We've got so many episodes that you can go back through and so many experiences for you to take in. Now, we don't have all the answers, but every episode I do ask guests for tips on coming out. And you know what? There are some brilliant ones to listen back to. So enjoy the podcast. Don't rush it. But I can promise you that every single person that I have spoken to over the years has been happier after coming out. Next week, we are back to normal service, so please look out for the next episode as we're off to Dublin to meet an Irish lesbian with a story about coming out a bit later in life. Take care and happy National Coming Out Day, however you identify.